to Cairo Nights. On the line is the world famous Dr. Z, the love doctor, Dr. William Zanatti, MD, PhD. Dr. Z, it's been a hot minute since you've been on the show in your regular time slot. It's been like 2 weeks and everybody has missed you desperately, Dr. Z.
Very good. Well, you know, let's give them what they're missing.
Yeah, you know, Bill, I wanted to have you on, and I know that you and I talked about this previously, because yesterday Colin Powell died. And I also want to get into the local stuff with, you know, staff in hospitals are reporting high vaccination rates, but they're still they're still losing some people based on the mandates that are in Washington state. So we'll get into that, too. And I also want to get into the COVID pill, because that's a really interesting phenomenon. But I wanted to start out with Colin Powell, because there's a tremendous amount of misinformation, I will put it that way, and also kind of a logical inconsistencies when it comes to the death of Colin Powell. So, for example, Dr. Z, yesterday I wake up, I read that Colin Powell has passed away, and then underneath this stuff on Reddit in the comment section, it's a lot of people saying, well, if the vaccines are so good at preventing you from getting COVID-19, looks like they didn't work for Colin Powell, therefore I will not be getting the vaccine. And it's almost as if people want a reason. Again, I keep going back to this thing where people are trying to justify to themselves not to get the vaccine. But right. at the same time, Bill, it's not like Colin Powell was a 25-year-old guy doing 100 sit-ups a day and eating nothing but protein and, you know, juice to the gills on steroids. He was a frail 84-year-old man with, and correct me if I say this wrong, but multiple myeloma and Parkinson's disease. Right?
Oh, you got it.
So
you got it.
Can you explain to the fine people of the audience that loves and adores you, Dr. Z is the love doctor, can you explain to people what a multiple myeloma is?
Yeah, simple. It's cancer cells that rise out of your B cells or plasma cells, the ones that give rise to the antibodies that you need from the vaccine. So meaning the vaccine teaches the plasma cells to put out a antibody against the virus. And if you have compromised plasma cells, then you don't, you can't mount the immune response that you need against the coronavirus.
Right. And so this is the thing that I was thinking about yesterday, Dr. Z, because so many people, had they read past the headline, they might have been able to infer or even deduce, i.e. do your own research, that, oh, the guy had multiple myeloma. It makes sense that the COVID-19 vaccine would not be as effective for him. And then on top of that, Dr. Z, the man had Parkinson's disease. So I take all these things into consideration, and yet people are still, in a weird way, kind of prostituting Colin Powell's death and using it as exhibit, whatever, 469 to not go out and get the vaccine. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, dude, why all this, like, self-justification? You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. I don't care if you don't get the vaccine, but it's like people have to check in with other people to be like, hey, the vaccines are still dangerous, right? I mean, if it's going to get Colin Powell, it's going to get anybody. And it's sad for me to have to be witness to levels of stupidity that I did not think was possible in other human beings. By the way, Bill, I totally forgot to tell you this. I saw a documentary, it was a really brief piece about anti-vaxxers down in Los Angeles. And they're having their like their little get together where they all meet up and they have their don't tread on me flags and they walk around and they're yelling and ranting and raving, which is fine. We live in America, you know, go for it. But one of the things, so they interview one of the guys, and this guy seems like a normal, average, everyday individual. He's a car salesman. He's got three kids. And they say, why don't you want to get the vaccine? And he very proudly says, well, I'm an American, and I don't feel like I should be forced to get the vaccine by my company or any government. He sounds like a totally reasonable guy. And and then they say this. This is where it goes right off the rails. They say, they say, well, what do you think the vaccine will do to you? And then he looks around like a naughty child looking out for the principal right before he tags the side of the gymnasium. And he gets really close to the microphone and he goes, the creatures in the vaccine are satanic in origin. And I go, whoa.
Awesome.
So, and then he goes on. He goes on to describe basically that scene in The Matrix, the first one, where they inject Neo with that robot that goes in his tummy. You know what I'm talking about, Bill?
Yeah, I do. Right.
So, Bill, I hate to insult you.
Have one of those extractors in the office, by the way. If that ever happens to you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Come over right away.
So, Bill, I have to ask you, being that you're an MD and a PhD, since I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, are there robotic squids in my body right now?
Yeah.
Man.
But it's not from the vaccine.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. It's because I'm trying to break through the matrix. So, Bill, the other thing I wanted to touch on is that locally, as you know, in the state of Washington, the decree hath been made that everyone should have been vaccinated by yesterday or have produced their paperwork to say I have an exemption or whatever. Oh, Bill,
is that like a tax return?
Have you ever granted any, have you ever written up an exemption for anybody against a vaccine or anything like that? Or what's the criteria for that, for someone to not get the vaccine?
A serious reaction to a previous vaccine, or a condition that puts you, as very susceptible to increased inflammation.
So, we got an email. It wasn't addressed to you, and it wasn't necessarily a medical question, Dr. Z, but I'll go into it anyway. It's a guy who wrote us at 973nights@gmail.com, and he writes to me, and he says that his mom is 90-something years old, and she has a legitimate reaction to vaccinations. I guess she goes into anaphylaxis whenever she gets... there's something, he said that there's something in the flu shot or something that is used as you're going to have to help me out with this, Bill, but there's something in the vaccine itself that causes
an adjuvant.
What is that thing?
So we've spoken before about how this is a, when you give the piece, when you give the piece of the bug in the, you know, traditional, we'll call it traditional vaccine.
Right.
What happens is, Jack, I can go take some artificial virus I have in the lab. I can inject you with it. It will do nothing. Okay. I have to send it in underneath your skin with something that triggers the immune system, that it the immune system goes, oh, look at this. Right? Innate and adaptive immune system. Innate is what causes anaphylaxis.
Okay.
Right? So when you have something that the immune system triggers on, like cell wall of bacteria, okay, the immune system triggers quickly and robustly to something called mucopolysaccharide, which is a component of bacterial cell wall. So this is commonly put at a low level in the vaccine. So it says, hey, look over here. And as the cells come in and start going, look at this thing. They start eating it and gaining education about it and creating antibodies against it, unless you have multiple myeloma.
Okay, so he was telling me that his mom basically is the nursing home that she is in is requesting him to like output all this data and all of this information, and he's like, I've got all of this paperwork, but there is this massive bureaucratic nightmare that I'm having to go to so that my mom A doesn't have to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and B so that she can stay in her nursing home. And he was basically, and this guy was not an anti-vaxxer, by the way, if I can throw this out there to this fine listener to Cairo Nights. He's not an anti-vaxxer. He himself is vaccinated. His wife is not. He seems like a very, like, run-of-the-mill kind of guy, and yet he's saying that all of these complications have basically made his life a living nightmare, having to jump through hoops for the state. And I'm deeply empathetic to someone who's in that position, and I want people to know that there are legitimately people out there who do have an adverse reaction to a vaccine. It's very unlikely, but I find that there is this weird kind of also anti-scientific mind out there that says, well, the vaccines are safe for everybody, when we know that for a very small percentage of the population, that's just not true. And I think that in order to be a big, wrinkly brain thinker, much like yourself, Dr. Z, it's important to acknowledge that, particularly when people are pretty sane in the way that they're trying to express it. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, the other thing I was thinking about, Dr. Z, is there was a tremendous amount of talk with in this story from Nicole Jennings about staff in local hospitals in Washington about people who were requesting religious exemptions, and they had to jump through the hoops to do that as well. Have you ever had anybody come to you with a religious exemption?
No.
Okay. No,
I have not. It's you know, it's usually pretty, and it's legit. You know, I was having a conversation with a mom yesterday.
Yeah.
She's got two kids on the spectrum, and you know, it's just they've had problems with the vaccines in the past, and no, the vaccine doesn't cause autism, but autism is known to affect brain, gut, and immune system. So what we might be seeing with these reactions is that these kids, you know, or these adults, they have a differential immune system, and it just probably doesn't react the same as somebody else's, perhaps.
Yeah, and this is why I wanted to have you on, Dr. Z, so that we could discuss, like, there are so many variations in human beings. Like, I think that that's why you see some people having, quote-unquote, adverse reactions to the vaccines. And again, you know what, Bill, the other thing I don't understand is why there are so many healthcare workers out there who are saying that they don't want to get the vaccine. Now, I'm all for personal choice. I have to say this every single time, Dr. Z, I'm getting so tired of saying it. I'm all for personal choice. I think mandates are garbage. I think that they're a bad idea. I want to educate people who are, you know, concerned about it. I've said this so many times that I feel like I'm blue in the face, because there's always a listener out there who's like, Jack Stein, you want people to be forced to get the vaccine? I'm like, oh my God, please listen to my show for more than 5 minutes. This is the thing I don't understand, where you have RNs it's mostly seems like RNs or someone who's like an adjunct to a physician who are saying that they're not interested in getting the vaccine. And I find it to be concerning, to say the least, that someone who is an RN who would be around other people who are potentially immunocompromised would not say, hey, you know what, I'm working in the most vulnerable section of society, I would want to at least offer some statistical prevention when it comes to COVID-19. I would imagine that would be the case, but apparently I am wrong. And so finally, Dr. Z, do you know what I mean, though, Bill? Like, what is the deal with people who are like, okay, if I want to open up a gun range, okay, an outdoor gun range, the last place I would put it is next to an open air kindergarten, right? That would be a bad idea, to have an open air gun range right next to a bunch of little kids. Maybe not.
What about your? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Yeah. What about your personal freedom, though?
I'm not saying that someone is going to shoot those little kids. I'm saying that there is a statistical probability, much higher than average, that if I have an open-air gun range next to an open-air kindergarten, that something could go horribly wrong. And I would imagine that many people would glom onto that and say, oh, yeah, you know what? Wait a minute. It's probably a good idea for me. Or what if I had a bomb factory, I don't know, right next to a dog breeder or something like that? What if I, anything of that nature, that'd be a pretty bad idea. Am I right or am I right? So, Dr. Z, the last thing I wanted to talk to you about is the COVID-19 pill. And I wanted to ask you if you've looked into it. Have you heard about it? Have you read about it? Do you have any thoughts? What's going on with it?
I have. I mean, it's, again, it would be way, way better to have a little shot.
Sure.
I know a lot of folks scared of that prick in the shoulder.
Yeah.
But you know, it would be way better to be vaccinated, but this is nice technology, very similar to, you ever heard of Tamiflu?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
So during the H1N1 crisis, where there were lots of folks getting real sick from the swine flu, we used a lot of Tamiflu in the hospital. And when I say a lot, it just, when we would have kids that were, you know, premature or otherwise compromised, you know, with not a ability to make a robust cough or something like that, you know, somebody with cerebral palsy, for instance, or somebody with like chronic kidney disease,
yeah,
then we would give them a round of Tamiflu, which inhibits the virus from gaining access to the cell by blocking like the spike protein, you know, like covers up the spike protein,
yeah,
so it can't get into the cell. To, you know, kind of give a simplified version of it, the COVID pill introduces mistakes into the genetic code. Remember how we talked about this bug is replicating quickly and in huge numbers. And if you can have something that introduces a mistake into the genetic code, it's going to render the piece of RNA that really is the guts of the virus, if you will, it renders it ineffective. It can't infect cells anymore because it can't replicate itself.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
There are certain antibiotics. There are certain antibiotics that will also do this. They create a block in the enzyme that allows the virus to replicate itself, to copy itself.
Okay.
And so, you know, all of those things a lot better than, you know, hydroxychloroquine. But, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, I know. You're just an MD and a PhD. Hey, speaking of, Dr. Z, we have to get out of here, but thank you so much for your time. Can you give everybody your fine details as the fine physician you are, just in case they want to get in touch?
Sure. It's ZananthiMD.com. You can reach me at Dr. Z, D-R-Z, at Zinanti, ZinanantiMD.com. If you want to send a comment or question, maybe we can answer it on the air for you.
Dr. Z, you're the best as per usual. We'll take a really quick break and we'll be right back with my own human virus, Mr. Billy Sunshine, right after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line is the devil himself, Mr. Billy Sunshine, a man who, when he passes by elementary schools, the children begin to cry. When he passes by flower gardens, the flowers begin to wilt and slowly turn to dust. A man who, when he walks under street lamps, they spontaneously turn off. A man who causes all the dogs in the neighborhood to start barking every time he opens a mouth. A man who causes small babies to erupt in fits of crying. A man who causes a chill to go down the spine of every human being whom he walks by. The devil incarnate, Mr. Billy Sunshine. Billy, what a pleasure it is to talk to you in all your awfulness and how horrible you are.
What sort of satanic wisdom can I lay on you today? What were the big stories in the news today? I wasn't really paying attention. I was out at the dog park most of the day, doing other things that I should or shouldn't do.
Eating.
So, you know, tell me, give me some choices about what we might want to talk about.
Well, Billy, locally, there's been a lot of terminations going on, Billy, and it's from all the vaccine mandate stuff.
Because of the vaccine stuff. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and was this the last day for the vaccine reporting?
Yesterday was technically the last day, and then today is the day when we actually got the official numbers on people who either A, were not given exemptions, B, did not turn in their paperwork, or C, did not turn in their vaccine paperwork. It's really small, Billy. I'm going to have Mike Solon on later this week to go in because he's got some contentions. He's the police union guy, so he's got some contentions about the numbers, and he's a really nice guy, so I'd like to have him on again. And I'd really like to get his input on it because there is some static, if that makes sense, in all the numbers, Billy. But for the most part, it's like a dozen people here, dozen cops here. The biggest hit was from the Washington State Patrol. Seems like some 67 troopers decided that they weren't going to comply with the vaccination mandates. But
that's significant.
It's significant, Billy, but I am highly confident that those roles will be filled, given that it is a fairly lucrative job. I mean, if you look at it, there are cops in Oakland, California. I'll put it that way, Billy. Do you know what I mean? Like, Oakland, California is one of the worst places on the planet to be a cop. Those guys make $125,000 a year. There's lots of young guys that want to get in the thick of it. They want to get in the action. I'm positive that if you can have a healthy police department in Oakland, California, that you can have a healthy police department or state troopers
anywhere,
or whatever it is, anywhere else, Billy. So call me a crazy free market capitalist.
Crazy. Market capital nut.
But Billy, the thing that I wanted to mention to you is that in a weird symbolic gesture, terminated Seattle firefighters turned in their boots at Occidental Park. So they took a picture and they put all their boots in a line and then they prayed together. And I'm sure it was very sweet for them. One of them showed up on the Dory Monson show. The thing that I am reminded of, though, Billy, and the thing that I want to remind other people of, is that when you have a contract with somebody, and I'm going to talk about this with Stacey later as it pertains to Nick Rolovich, the Washington State head football coach, when you have a contract, much like how I have a contract or anybody else has a contract, once you sign your name on the dotted line, you can be terminated. Do you know what I mean? That's not guaranteed
your
right to your job.
Have a moral clause, by the way?
Does mine in particular?
I was just trying to make a joke. You'd be fired by now if you have one.
I know, because I have this satanic worshiper Billy Sunshine on.
That's why I always get fired. The moral.
Yeah, well, Billy, because you're awful at everything. But the other thing I wanted to mention to you, Billy, is that...
Yeah, what are you trying to get to about the contract? Where are you going?
Well, so, Billy, this is all like... If let us say I want to work for Billy Sunshine Incorporated, and my job is to
never hire you. I know you,
but my job is to come over to your house on a daily basis, and I bring you cupcakes and bacon, and I wash your dog. Okay, let's just say that that's my job working for Billy Sunshine Incorporated.
That I would hire you to do.
Yes, you would. Yeah. And I have a contract between you and I, in which part of that contract is that I need to ensure that I abide by all the rules and regulations of Billy Sunshine Incorporated. COVID-19
and
comes...
You keep me alive by wearing a mask and getting vaccinated.
Exactly my point, Billy. Exactly my point. It may not say it explicitly, but it most certainly says it implicitly, right? So that there is this idea that if I want to work for you, who's old and fat and has pre-diabetes, and I want to bring you your cupcakes and your bacon and wash your dog, that part of that is ensuring that you don't die if you get COVID-19. So if I do that and then you fire me as a result of my inability to do my job because I can't be around you because I could spread COVID-19, where's the beef? It's a question I keep trying to ask people who are civil employees. Where's the beef? Do you not like the free market? Do you not like this idea of you sign an employment contract? You adhere to the rules of that employment contract? I mean, this is weird to me, Billy. I feel like I'm living in bizarre world.
I think more importantly is you work with other people. The social contract, the human contract, is that when it's dangerous, you'll go along with whatever we have to do to make it less dangerous for us all. How about that?
I don't really care about that. I don't really care about
that's too liberal for you.
Yeah, I don't care about people.
Too lefty.
COVID-19
too passionate.
COVID-19 has a 99% survival rate, Billy. COVID-19 for the majority of people is absolutely nothing. It is a non-issue,
Billy. Don't call it nothing. There's so many people who have died.
What was my language, Billy? I said for the vast majority of people, COVID-19 is nothing. That is a fair statement to make in the same way that for the vast majority of people, cancer is nothing, right? People, they just don't get it, or they have a benign tumor or whatever it is. Is that insensitive to say?
Yes. It might be true, but I don't think so.
Okay, Billy, getting eaten by a pot of piranhas is a non-issue for the majority of people. Am I being insensitive to people who have been eaten by a pot of piranhas?
No, but when you're talking about something that millions of people are being affected by, and they are, you can't say that even the people who aren't getting COVID-19, even the people whose relatives don't die from it, are affected by it. We've seen our whole society affected by it. We've had people's lives and incomes affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we're all like, we're in it together, you know, and that's sort of the thing. At some point, you know, it takes a planet awareness, not just your own selfish little head.
This is some weird communist language. What do you mean we're in it together, Billy? Billy, I'm not in it. I'm not in it with anybody outside of like you and Sarah and maybe my mom on occasion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in it with anybody.
I understand what you're saying, but it's not true. You go to the grocery store, don't you?
I do go to the grocery store. That's correct, Billy.
Okay, well, you know, try not to. Look, it's simple. You try not to spread disease, especially if you work in a situation that's an assembly line where you have to work next to somebody. And why should he wear a mask 8 hours a day so that you can, you know, not have a vaccine? We'd all like to go unmasked at work. That's one thing. And we'd all like to feel safe and not feel like the guy next to us is taking our life in his
Billy, this is so weird. Himself. Billy, this is like such weird, like double think right now. Masks work, right?
Fauci
said that masks work, right? Masks are super effective, right? Vaccines are super effective. Get the vaccine, right? So if I want to work in a Tyson chicken line and I'm wearing a mask and I got vaccinated, am I not safe or is Fauci wrong? You tell me.
You're mostly safe. You're pretty safe. There's no guarantee. There's no 100% out there, my friend.
All right. Well, there's not 100% guarantee that I won't get eaten by a pot of piranhas, right? But it's pretty much a non-issue for most people, Billy. I mean, come on. This is what people find deep. This is what people find deeply frustrating about COVID, Billy, is the inconsistency from other people. And I will tell you right now, Billy, that we would have had much less resignations when it comes to COVID-19. We would have a much more robust state patrol, SPD, fire department, yeah. Whatever it is, those people would still have those jobs if we had some kind of consistency when we talk about COVID-19. But because the goalpost moves on a sentence by sentence basis by people like you who ingest nothing but CNN.
Welcome to the modern world and modern science and people doing the best they can, scientists, politicians, all just trying to survive. Taking the information.
Billy
as it
Darkness.
Comes.
Billy,
what you do in a modern world.
Billy's just being Billy Darkness right now. Full Billy Darkness. Full Billy Rain Cloud right now. Just totally ruining. Just ruining the show, Billy, with your darkness. As you walk around in your black communist robe, spouting your communist nonsense, Billy.
I got a cloud over me.
Okay, well, thank you, Billy, and we appreciate your time, and we appreciate you wasting my listeners' time as well. Hey, stick around.
Done.
Yeah, you're done, Billy. Get off my show. When we get back, Shane Peterson and I are going to be talking about that one time that he had a dream where he was on the moon. That's not what we're going to talk about, but we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to Pyro Night. Shane, I didn't stick the landing on my joke with Billy where I said, we're going to talk about Shane's dream about going to the moon. Like, normally I try to do something that's remotely funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one about the rugby, that I took that personally. That one hurt. That was the most hurtful thing that I've, the most hurtful pain I've gotten on this show.
Yeah.
But no, some of them are pretty funny. I like the one about the rash made me laugh. I did appreciate the ones of Tark about me finding a girlfriend. Those also hurt a little bit.
I'm so sorry, Shane. But I think I made up for it a little bit because the one I just gave was super cringe. Like I didn't stick the landing at all. So now I'm
just get some better material, Jack. Keep coming at me.
All right, Shade. So what do you got for us tonight?
So sometimes, Jack, I hear stories through different media sources. You know, this is part of my job. I usually open all my segments like this because I don't know where I need to go. But but basically, I saw a story that it spiked my interest. And, you know, one thing that I have as a big part of my wardrobe and my attire is band T-shirts, Jack. I have a lot of different band T-shirts. I have T-shirts from bands like Red Fang, The Descendants, Motorhead. I got the Misfits, Circle Jerks. I've got a bunch of different ones. I got rotations of band T-shirts. It's one of my things. And, you know, as we've talked about before, Tark, our correspondent who brings us nonsense, has told us about how a lot of vintage clothing has been coming back into play and has, you know, started taking off and people have been investing into it. Well, Jack, The most expensive band T-shirt ever sold was sold this weekend. A new record has been set, and it was a T-shirt that was from 1967, and it's a Grateful Dead T-shirt that, after all the taxes and all the premiums and everything, came out to $19,315.80 for an original 1967 tour shirt from the Grateful Dead. So there's always been this kind of this weird booming market for vintage band T-shirts, and it's just basically just exploded. So before this T-shirt, there was a Led Zeppelin T-shirt from the 1979 concerts at the Kenworth House that sold for over $10,000 on eBay at an auction in 2011. But this almost doubled its record. So this shirt came from the collection of Dan Healy, who was an engineer who worked for the Dead, and kept it in perfect condition in a box that he's later came out and sold. Now, how I discovered this story and why I think it's super interesting, the T-shirt design came from a guy by the name of Alan Gut Turk, a former Hell's Angel and a merry prankster who was a big part of the late 60s San Francisco scene. Turk painted the Merry Pranksters bus, and he also designed the album, the Volunteers album for Jefferson Airplane. And he recently passed away in 2018. But this guy who I follow, who goes by the Outlaw Archives, he's a guy who basically archives the history of these motorcycle gangs in California, has collected a lot of this footage from people, and he was able to sit down with Gut, and he actually has a recording of him talking about his inspiration for the T-shirt.
About the bumper sticker and the T-shirt?
Oh. Yeah, the T-shirt had these, like, spinners on them. And I designed it more for women than anything. You know, the spinners were over the boobs, and then it said Grateful Dead on it.
That was the whole inspiration behind this T-shirt.
What a creeper. What a creeper. What a creeper.
He was a hippie in the 60s, and they had a lot of pretty women out there that were rocking these shirts, and he took advantage of the market, and now these T-shirts, especially this pristine one, it's almost worth $20,000. I mean, I feel like I just lost you with that clip. I find it absolutely hilarious. Is him being an old man and reminiscing about his glory days, Jack?
Yeah, people. He's talking about that I designed a shirt expressly so that I could stare at women's boobs. That's creepy. Okay, Shane.
Hold on. Let's think about the environment that is happening at these Grateful Dead shows, Jack. Think about the people that are there and what type of drugs they are on and what happens during that time in history when all those people are on drugs. It's the summer of love. People are loving. People are looking at people in new ways. People are having a new experience into the world, Jack. And you have a young man. I'm picturing myself a young man in the 60s walking around. I'm wearing a tie-dye t-shirt tonight, too. This couldn't be more perfect. I'm walking around and I'm looking around at all these beautiful hipster ladies, and I'm maybe on some sort of substance, maybe multiple, but, you know, I see things moving in a different direction, and when I'm staring at the beautifulness that is the female body, and it has the psychedelic effect to it, Jack, just picture it with me. That is some crazy, trippy, beautiful stuff, if you ask me, and that was probably the goal of old Gut, who apparently used to run drugs for the Hells Angels and do plenty of other, you know, stuff with the Merry Pranksters. So I saw this story. Not only is it a record breaker, but, I mean, it's cool history.
I mean, I guess so, Shane. I mean, you know, I have a collection of band shirts as well, but they're only from one person, Shane. Can you guess who that is?
Alkaline Trio? Throw some D's on that beat. Was that right?
It's only from Rich Boy. It's only from Rich Boy. I only have... Come on, Shane. This is the new drop. I'm trying to figure out how to work it into the show, Shane. You're making my life a million times. Hey, speaking of trying to work something into the show, Stacey Joe Ross is going to come in a couple of few, and we're going to be talking about Nick Rolovich. Shane, I know that you lost your mind over Nick, Stacey and I are going to have ourselves a little talk about it. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this with Stacey Joe Ross.